Hi guys, and welcome to the Whole Kit and Caboodle podcast. I'm Casey Hyman. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about something cat-related. We'll cover the various breeds, safety and health topics, and those quirky habits that make our cats so hilariously unique, as well as how to correct problem behaviors. This week, you'll learn about inappropriate elimination. We'll cover the various reasons a cat might do her business outside the litter box, what signs she'll give off to help you identify the cause, and how you can correct the behavior. I'm grateful to you, my listeners, because you allow me to do what I love. So let me know how I'm doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Kitten Caboodle Pod and Twitter at Kitten K Pod. You can also find the show on YouTube. Just do a search for the Whole Kitten Caboodle. If you enjoy today's episode, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen. It may seem trivial, but it really does help. If you'd like to monetarily support the show and local shelters, you can do so on my Anchor page at anchor.fm/kittencaboodlepod. You can also make a direct donation on my website at positivecatitudebehaviorist.com/mystory. Should you encounter a behavior problem with your cat that requires my professional services, you can contact me through my website, positivecatitudebehaviorist.com. You'll find my rates on the consultation page, as well as an informational packet outlining behavior basics that you can download for a small fee. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can listen to the Whole Kit and Caboodle on most major podcast directories. Second only to aggression, peeing and pooping outside the litter box is the next most frequent concern I hear from cat parents. It's an extremely common problem, and it's a tricky thing to overcome because so many different factors can contribute to it. To be clear, when I say peeing and pooping outside the box, be aware that there is a difference between regular inappropriate elimination and marking behaviors. We'll address marking behaviors first because the causes behind them are more specific and better understood, meaning it's easier to address. So how do you know the difference between marking and just not using the litter box? Your cat will spray on a vertical surface and around the perimeter of the property if he's marking. For example, by the doors and windows. I say he because the behavior is far more common in male cats, especially those who haven't been neutered. Don't be fooled though, females will do it too. And sometimes it doesn't matter if the cat has been fixed or not. If they feel there's a threat to their territory, they'll mark the area regardless of having their boy and girl parts intact. If you happen to catch your cat in the act of what you suspect to be marking behavior, pay attention to how they do it first before you address it to make sure you're approaching the situation correctly. Usually your kitty will back up to a vertical surface, raise his tail, which may start to quiver, tread with his back feet, and direct a stream of pee backwards. Some will only spray a little bit, others will seem to go on forever. And while much less common, some cats may leave their poop as a territory marker instead. In the wild, this is a natural behavior for cats. To them, they're not being naughty. That's a connotation we as humans have attached to marking. If your kitty was outside, this is how he would tell other cats to stay away, because he owns the space. Remember how in other episodes we talk about cats needing to take ownership of their territory to feel confident? Marking is often a part of that. How do you address marking behavior? Well, step one is to get your cat fixed if they aren't already. By removing the reproductive organs, those hormones that tell a cat to mark will diminish greatly. Most cats no longer feel the need to claim territory like this once the urges go away. But be aware that spaying and neutering won't always solve the problem. If your pet doesn't get the surgery until after he's matured into an adult, it can take much longer for the urge to fade. Or it may never go away. This is why cat owners are strongly encouraged to get their cats fixed as kittens, well before this natural urge becomes a habit that may become impossible to break. Here's a personal example. Because I work with a lot of kitties, I can't always get them fixed right away because of tight finances. The surgery for the boys is cheaper, so I always get them done first, so at least we don't encounter unexpected litters of kittens. But I sometimes have to wait to get the girl spayed because of the cost being much higher and the lack of low-cost spay clinics in my area. Of those girls that have had to wait, probably 3 or 4 marked their territory while they were still intact. Thankfully, they all quit after the spay surgery, and the boys, regardless of being neutered, sometimes also marked for the simple fact that there were intact females in the house. I spent a lot of time cleaning up after those cats, but spaying and neutering thankfully leveled it out. If you also deal with a cat that marks, that's step two, by the way. Make sure you clean up the pee spots as soon as you realize they're there. The longer it sits, the higher the chances your kitty will mark that spot again. But what if you don't catch your cat in the act and don't know where he's peeing, but you know it's there and can smell it? There's a relatively easy way to find out. Cat urine glows under a black light, so you'll want to get one and frequently check around the perimeter of the house. Wherever you see a glowing spot or stream, clean it up. You'll need to do some research into which cleaner you use as well. Different products work for different situations, but many store-bought cleaners actually make the situation worse. Some contain ammonia, which is also found in cat pee and what makes it smell so bad. If you use a cleaner with ammonia, you unwittingly and actively encourage your pet to mark there again. Instead, find a CO2 cleaner like Fission or Jackson Galaxy's Pet Stain Remover. Both are specially formulated to break down the components of pet stains and remove them rather than cover them up or spread them around. Even better, they're chemical-free, clean-smelling, and completely safe to use around kids and pets. In my experience, it cleans many other messes too. The only things it hasn't worked on so far have required CLR. For step three, you need to figure out why your cat is marking his territory. A number of things could be the trigger. A new pet in the house, one of the most common reasons. A new stray or feral kitty outside the home. Any other new critter near the house, like raccoons or possums. A neighbor's dog that can be heard barking from inside the house. A cat in the neighborhood is in heat, which only has to start yowling to trigger marking. A new and unfamiliar person has entered the home, and moving to a new place, which is by and far the most likely event to trigger marking behaviors. If at all possible, you'll want to correct the cause to help discourage future peeing episodes. Obviously, not every life event or triggering episode can be prevented, but fixing what you can will go a long way. Now, if you've ruled out territory marking, your kitty is probably going outside the litter box because of stress, a medical condition, she doesn't like something about the setup, or it's simply become a habit. You'll be able to distinguish this from territory staking because your kitty won't aim for a vertical surface. Rather, he's far more likely to squat on a horizontal surface, as if he were indeed using the box. And the pee pile will be about as large as it normally would be rather than a quick spray. We'll go over the most likely reasons your cat may decide to stop using his litter box in the second half of the episode. Hi listeners, Casey here. I want to take a minute to let you know about another way that you guys can help support me and the work that I do, podcast memberships. While I'm open to relevant sponsorships, I'd prefer to keep this podcast ad-free while also keeping it free to listen. Unfortunately, running a podcast is not free, and neither is hosting a website. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can sign up for a monthly or yearly podcast membership. Members will get 2 extra episodes every month. Sometimes it'll be stories about my kitties, member stories, or cat-related news I find while perusing the internet. You'll also get exclusive access for a members-only Discord, where you can chat with me and with each other, and access to my private cat videos on TikTok. And while I keep rough episode transcripts available for free to improve accessibility, members can download cleaned-up versions, kind of like a mini-info packet for that particular topic. Membership costs only $7.99 a month, about the cost of most streaming services these days, or $95.88 for a full year. To join up, hop over to my website, positivecatitudebehaviors.com, and click on the membership tab. Payment is handled through PayPal for added security, and at no point do I have access to your payment information. Thanks so much for the support, everyone. Now, let's get back to the episode. Stress. We discussed stress and anxiety in another episode. Literally anything can stress out your kitty, and one of the most common responses to stress is inappropriate litter box habits. I listed a few things already that could trigger territory marking. Those same triggers could initiate stress in a cat, as can a bunch of other situations. To name a few, a new person has entered the house, especially a spouse or baby, a person has recently left the house, whether permanent or temporary, the furniture was rearranged, redecorating or remodeling, another pet has left the house or passed away, in a multiple pet household, the cat in question or other animals have gotten into a fight, a change in the type of litter, a change in the type of cat food, car rides and vet visits, inconsistent feeding times, too much or too little attention or playtime, boredom or loneliness, overpowering scents, like from candles, perfumes, etc., loud noises, a dirty litter box, unwanted or inappropriate handling by the human, bullying and dominance from other animals, mirrors, his food and water isn't where he wants it, being punished or yelled at, and a whole lot more. This is why I recommend hiring a behaviorist with cases of inappropriate peeing. I'll say it again, literally anything can stress out your kitty. This is also why I have my clients fill out a 24-page form with all sorts of information that seems irrelevant. The smallest bit of information can give huge insight into why a cat is behaving the way he is, and if it's overlooked, behavioral treatment won't work. Medical issues. Urinary tract infections, bladder infections, kidney infections, stones, crystals, bacterial infections, kidney disease, and FLUTD are the most common reasons a kitty will pee because of a medical problem. However, other conditions like diabetes, arthritis, and any form of chronic pain can contribute as well. As a pet owner, I'm sure you've heard the advice to take your cat to a vet to first rule out a health issue when inappropriate peeing starts. It's the best thing you can do for your pet, because all the behavior therapy in the world won't do a lick of good if her body hurts. And the medical cause can be extremely hard to find, too. If after a basic vet check and extensive behavior therapy the problem hasn't resolved, it's time for the vet to dig deeper. The cause may not even be physical, in a way. Age-related cognitive decline, aka kitty dementia, can cause your kitty to forget how to use the box, or she may just simply lose control of her bladder and bowels. In those cases, you'll need to find a way to compromise and figure out what your kitty will use that you're also willing to work with. Habit. Obviously, if your cat never learned to use the litter box as a kitten, she's going to continue to go wherever she wants as she gets older if she's not shown otherwise. Or if she went through a time when she dealt with pain that made it tough to climb into the box, she may decide to simply stop trying and just never try again on her own. And for those of us who rescue feral cats, we can encounter difficulties in training a kitty who spent her whole life doing her business wherever it was convenient to start doing that business in a box. We'll go over how to train or retrain litter box usage later on. Setup. Many times, cats simply don't like what you're offering them to use as a litter box. The type of litter, size and shape of the box, whether it's covered or not, design, location, scented or not, how often it's cleaned, what's used to clean it. If one little thing is off, she may decide to go somewhere else. Some kitties are extremely picky. So after you rule out medical issues and can't immediately pick out another obvious cause to inappropriate peeing, the next thing to do is tweak various aspects of your litter setup to see if you can convince your kitty to use it. But with so many factors, this route can get pricey very quickly. So again, it's a good idea to ask a cat behaviorist to look at the situation to help narrow down what parts your pet may dislike. Many folks I speak to about this issue express concerns that it can't be corrected. Actually, it can, with patience, time, and an open-minded understanding of the situation. Rather than take the human view that peeing outside the box is gross and the cat is doing it out of spite, you need to get on your pet's level and look at it from his point of view. And don't forget, if you have more than one cat, you'll have to figure out who's doing it first. The easiest way is to set up a camera to watch the spot where your pet is peeing. Or if the culprit is pooping outside the box, you can add a few non-toxic crayon shavings to his canned food, one kitty at a time, and watch to see where it turns up. If you find a colorful pile outside the box, you'll know which cat needs retraining. Keep in mind, too, that there are certain factors that will increase the chances of success in correcting the problem quickly and without further recurrence. The duration of the behavior is less than 1 month at the start of the treatment, so the sooner you work on it, the better. The cat is only peeing in one or two places in the house. It's possible to identify and correct the situation that's causing your cat to stress out. You use a good cleaner that neutralizes the odor rather than covers it up or contributes to the smell, and you only have one cat. Now, let's take a look at some more specific steps you can take to help your kitty learn to use the litter box properly. Visit the vet. Like I've said, the first step is to rule out any medical conditions that could contribute to your pet's peeing habits. Your vet should perform a complete and thorough physical examination that includes multiple tests. A urinalysis will be the first step, and a competent vet will also do blood tests, urine cultures, and imaging of the urinary system. He should also search for anything that may be causing pain to your cat and take into consideration her age and overall health history. I want to talk briefly about one more specific condition here, simply because I'm currently working with a client whose cat may have this and it's a frustrating condition to diagnose. I'll talk about it in much more detail in another episode, but for now, I want to make you aware of it, because apparently a lot of vets don't consider it. Sterile cystitis, also called Pandora syndrome and idiopathic cystitis, is an inflammation in the wall of the bladder. But whereas cystitis is usually caused by infection or bladder stones, idiopathic cystitis has no known cause, and it's not always consistent when it shows up, so many vets have a tough time recognizing it. It requires multiple therapies to be applied at the same time to help prevent flare-ups, simply because there's no real tried-and-true way to get rid of it. So if the vet clears your cat as being healthy, and then intensive behavioral therapy doesn't correct the problem, ask about idiopathic cystitis. Medication. Just like how some humans can't get better without medication, the same holds true for our kitties. Whether it's a mental imbalance, anxiety, or a chronic health issue, your vet may recommend adding medication to your pet's routine. Some may refer you to a behaviorist and recommend behavior therapy first, and then if it doesn't correct the problem, add medications to help it along more easily. Though not technically a medication, it's always worth adding a few feel-away diffusers throughout the house. These contain synthetic versions of pheromones that cats already produce naturally, namely the mother to help calm her kittens. There are different kinds, so do some research and try the one that best fits your situation. Not all cats respond to these, but they also take time to kick in, so give it at least 2 months before you rule them out. Behavioral therapy. If no medical cause is found, it's time to retrain your kitty's behavior. Some cats will retrain themselves if you discover something about the litter box setup that she doesn't like and change it into something she'll accept. For example, many cats hate covered boxes. Others want to use a box that's out in the open rather than tucked in a corner. And some large pets need a tote converted into a litter box rather than the conventional small one. If stress is determined to be the cause, do your best to remove, or at least minimize, the source. If you can't, a behaviorist can teach you how to help your kitty get used to the source so her stress levels aren't so high all the time. Hop over to the episode on stress and anxiety and pay special attention to the techniques we discuss there. You can also try to make the area she's peeing in less attractive or inaccessible. If that's not possible, start feeding and playing with her there. Most cats won't do their business where they eat and play, so it should help redirect her attention from that spot. And if she's peeing on something specific, say a pile of clothes, put it away to where she can't reach it. Double-sided tape and aluminum foil also serve as deterrents. Cats won't want to walk on the sticky material, and neither will they like the noisy crinkling noises of the tin foil. Although, be aware that some cats will find the latter of the two to be rather fun, and they may end up playing in it rather than be turned off by it. Kitties also really don't care for the smell of citrus fruits. You can try surrounding the area with orange or lemon peels, or if you're protecting a plant, set the peels right in the dirt. Few cats will bother to test these waters. If your cat is marking territory rather than simply peeing out of the box, even though she's been fixed, clean up behind her and mitigate the triggers as much as possible. For example, if you know there are strays or ferals in the area, you can install water sprinklers near the windows to at least keep them away from the immediate perimeter of the house. Or you may need to reintroduce your cat to the new pet or human who just moved in. Litter box retraining. Whatever else you may be doing, you'll need to remind your kitty that she needs to do her business in the litter box. Besides making tweaks to make it more appealing, make sure you have enough boxes in the house. The general rule of thumb is to have one box for every cat, plus one extra. It's possible your cat may have gotten cornered by another pet at a certain box, or had some other negative experience, and she doesn't feel safe going in that location. Give her options by placing other boxes throughout the home. Likewise, try putting a litter box in the place where your cat has been going. For whatever reason, she likes that spot. Very often, you can correct the problem by simply sitting a box over the area. Many cats will start to use the box on their own again. This one may sound obvious, but sometimes pet parents need a reminder. Clean the litter box every day. If you're already doing that, do it twice a day. Some cats are extremely finicky about the box's condition, just as they might be about the kind of box or type of litter. Avoid self-cleaning boxes. The litter robot may look nice in terms of design and removing the need to clean the box, but it was invented for human convenience, not feline appeal. Some pets don't care about the noise and movement, but if you're dealing with inappropriate peeing, chances are your cat won't be confident or comfortable enough to try it. If you can think of anything else to make the box more appealing to your kitty, go ahead and try it. There's even a product called Cat Attract that can be added to the litter, and it's designed to encourage your pet to start using the box as she's expected to. Much like anxiety and stress, every situation where the cat is peeing outside the box is a unique one. Even the most experienced behaviorist can have a tough time pinning down the cause, except through trial and error, which is why it's best to ask for help if you've tried to fix it yourself and haven't been successful. It can be frustrating and time-consuming, but thankfully, inappropriate peeing is a very solvable problem. Thanks for listening to the Whole Kit and Caboodle podcast. You can find more episodes of the show on most major podcast directories, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and others. If you enjoyed listening, be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It helps me out more than you know. If you'd like to support the show, feel free to get in touch via social media. Don't forget to follow on Facebook and Instagram at Kit and Caboodle Pod, Twitter at Kit and K-Pod, and YouTube at The Whole Kit and Caboodle. Don't forget, you can also support me on my Anchor page at anchor.fm/kittencaboodlepod and make a direct donation on my website at positivecatitudebehaviorist.com/mystory. If you require my professional services, you can contact me through my website, positivecatitudebehaviorist.com, on the consultation services page. You can also sign up for podcast membership via the membership tab. I'll see y'all next time.